Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is that time, a Fransky Friday. And while we're always excited to talk to Scott, it is bittersweet that this is the final Fransky Friday of the season as the Phils lose in four last night to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Scott on his way home last night after one of the toughest ones I can ever remember. Scott, how are you feeling today?
Well, we're doing okay. Just about to take off back to Philly. We didn't. The team's traveling this morning, so stayed the night in L.A. and everybody's loading up the two planes they've got and about to start the journey.
Yeah, and it's going to be a journey this offseason to try to pick up the pieces where we leave off. Scott Fransky with us. Hunter Brody in for Hugh Douglas today. Scott, what were you? I mean, we all heard your call. We played it. I was listening to you. What were you thinking as the ball went back to Kirkering, and how did it kind of play out in your eyes? Because it's just, I was shocked. I never thought he was coming home with the baseball until obviously it was too late.
Yeah, that's the only way to look at it. I mean, I think everybody was surprised. I didn't see that coming. But again, you know, for me, just in that spot, you're just trying to react to what you see and try to at least keep it together enough to describe what's happening. And yeah, it was a tough way to have it end. I mean, it was two really, really good teams going at it in a series. I said goodbye to the Dodger broadcasters when I walked out last night. They were still on the air, actually, and I just kind of poked my head in real quick. And, you know, the one thing they said to me is, you know, a series that good shouldn't have ended on a play like that. And you feel for Orion. You really do. Just, you know, you feel a lot of heartbreak for the guy. It's a play he's had to make over and over and over again in PFPs and in real games. But he didn't make the right play. He didn't make the play. I mean, honestly, you know, revisionist history. If his throw gets to JT, they get him out because Kim didn't step on the plate.
Yeah.
And he, you know, I heard Orion's comment afterwards. He said, I just thought after bumbling it, you know, after it hit off his foot, he felt like the quickest play was to home. You know, just, there was some panic in that moment, clearly, and threw it away.
Yeah, it was a shame, and it was hard to watch because you know how much, you know, pain he was probably feeling in the moment. But let me ask you this in regards to him being in the game. Now, he did actually have an opportunity to get out of it, but just because of the nature of the talk with the inherited runners and all, do you like the idea of going to Kirkering there instead of maybe staying with Lizardo instead?
Well, again, I mean, I know people want to talk about the things they've asked people to do that they've never done before, and you know, I heard you guys talking a little bit ago, you know, you didn't want to see David Robertson come back out because they'd never asked him to do it. Well, they never asked Jesus Luzardo to pitch on his bullpen day either. I think they felt like it got to the end of the line. I mean, he made the pitch he needed to make. He did. He made the pitch he needed to make. He didn't make the play he needed to make. And it's crazy because, you know, it was a broken bat roller just to the left of the mound that beat him the other night off of Kirkland. The one that Kike had that scored what turned out to be the go-ahead run. It's crazy that a series like that with two offenses that powerful comes down to two broken bat comebackers to the mound.
It really is. Scott Fransky joining us from L.A. as the Phillies head back after the NLDS. Scott, what was your thought on the intentional walk to Ohtani in the seventh inning? It was interesting because I understand why you do it, right? It's Shohei Ohtani. A base is open there. He's the best player in baseball. But he wasn't hitting well in this series. And by doing that, there's no margin for error for Duran. And it's Betts coming up. It's not like there's, you know, some huge drop-off behind Ohtani. It's another great player. What did you think of that move? It's a 50-50. It didn't go the Phillies' way because the walk was next. What did you think when the Phillies decided to walk Ohtani to get to Betts?
I didn't have a problem with it, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, what did Duran walk? One guy in his time with Philly. He's never issued a bases-loaded walk. Ohtani had numbers off him. I guarantee you, I know people are frustrated and they're looking for ways to put blame on some kind of a move. But I guarantee you, if he lets him face Ohtani and Ohtani takes him deep, which he's done twice, and it's 3-0, what are you going to say that? Why didn't you put him on and face the righty-righty, right? I mean, that's what you would say. I have no doubt about it. So I didn't have a big problem with it. I said on the broadcast last night, the fact that Ohtani was one for whatever, it was like a ticking time bomb. It was going to go off at some point. And I don't think in that moment you can let the best player on the planet beat you. They gave up one run, but that's all. And I think if Ohtani, you know, again, if Ohtani goes deep right there, the talk will be different today. People want something to, you know, they want to blame somebody. They're hurt. They're heartbroken. They're upset. I get it. But I didn't have a problem with it.
I agree with you. I would have walked Ohtani as well. But we're 3 questions in, and 2 have been about Rob Thompson's decision-making. So it brings me here. Because something needs to change, not saying it's all Rob, obviously, but, you know, it's an easy lever to pull, let's say. What do you think the future holds for Rob Thompson and the Phils?
I don't know. I heard the Phillies owner, John Middleton, on these airwaves last week saying that it's the best managerial job Rob Thompson has done since he's been here. I don't know how you go from saying that one week to saying goodbye the next. He won 96 games. He's won more games every single year. And then if you want to make, they may make that decision. I don't know. But I think it is dangerous to be so short-sighted to make a call that important based on the vagaries of a 4-game, 5-game, 7-game playoff series. I get it. People think things need to change. You know, we were standing around waiting on the buses this morning and everybody's talking and, you know, all the, not only the players, but the front office staff and people connected to the organization are there. You know, and I watched Charlie Manuel walk to the bus and he was always the first to tell you this game is about the players. And the players make the plays. And the players either win or they lose. Managers are there to try to keep the ship steady. I think Rob did that in the face of a lot of things that were going on in that clubhouse this year. Try to keep players healthy for the long run. I don't see how you dole out the praise you were doling out a week ago when they were division champs and 96 game winners to saying, well, that's the move you got to make. There will be changes, clearly. There's free agency for a lot of guys. They haven't performed in the playoffs. They've lost, 8 of the last 10 playoff games they've played, going back to the 23 NLCS. So there's something that needs to be better. But I don't know what the future holds, but I do know that they, you know, had a pretty high regard for him last week, and we'll see over the next few days, I guess.
Scott, not just Topper, but how do you parse when you think about the decisions they have to make? How much should we weigh into the postseason? It is such a uniquely small sample size that matters so much to all of us. It's 4 games, and 3 of them were super close and, you know, coin flip games versus the regular season, because I think it's difficult for me. I'm sure the front offices try to think about things black and white and very analytically, but it's hard because these guys were great during the regular season. Topper was great. Schwarber was amazing. And I'm not saying Schwarber was bad in the series, but just in general, like short-term, long-term, because they have big decisions to make here, Scott, and it's those two things have to be, you know, conflicting in their minds. Like, hey, we're great in the regular season, but we seemingly can't get over the hump in the postseason.
I don't know how you necessarily rectify it. I mean, I think as leaders of the organization, and by that I mean, you know, whether it's John Middleton or the rest of the ownership group or Dave Dombrowski and his team, they have to decide whether or not they feel like that the manager and coaching staff put the players in the best position to be successful. And if they feel like that happened and the players weren't successful, then I think you look first to the players. players play this game. The players play this game. And, you know, we can – I know there's been, you know, everybody's analysis on the bunt call. I can draw out for you 100 different, very reasonable, very plausible ways that situation plays out if they don't bump. And they don't end up necessarily with the Phillies winning, right? I mean, they held the Dodgers to 3 runs in the last 2 games, right? The pitching staff held the Dodgers to 1 earned run in 11 innings last night. They didn't win. It's because they didn't win because they didn't hit enough. They didn't hit enough. This team was built. When I say built, I'm talking about the money that was invested in, let's say, the top 5 highest paid players, right? Turner, Schwarber, Harper, JT, and Nick Castellanos. Those are your 5 big guns. And they didn't get enough. JT had an amazing series at the plate. Kyle Schwarber had a big night in that game. But Harper hit 200. Kyle hit 188. He had a high OPS because 2 of the hits were homers. Nick hit under 200. He drove in 3 runs. Harper drove in 9. I mean, that's where this lies, if you ask me. That's where this lies, is that they didn't hit enough. Is that because their skills are declining or they're not the right players or because they just had a bad week? I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. I do know that over the long haul, they won 96 games. That makes them a really, really good team. And it gives them plenty to work for or work with as they go forward to next year. But I know people are frustrated and they're heartbroken and they're sad. And I am right there with them. This is my life. And, you know, it's like a death in the family when this day comes. And it comes every year. And only one time in my life has it come with the Phillies winning the World Series. So, yeah, it's tough. It's a tough day.
Yeah, no, I guess I'll try to be the guy here to bring in some positivity. Let me ask you this question, all right? Christopher Sanchez. All right, now listen, I was watching him like a proud father yesterday on my couch, remembering when he was up and down, you know, he was right. A Bailey Falter type role. What was it like for you to see him on that stage after everything he's been through to get to that point? Wheeler goes down. This guy was a star who was making Freddie Freeman look lost at the plate in this series. How about this for a positive question? Just what have you seen with him and the growth of him? Because he's going to be a part of this.
You know, Broads, it's the exact thing I was thinking about. During the 2 innings that Tom was on the air, I had a chance. I was going back, and we dug up the numbers. He was recalled and optioned 14 times. 14 times. He was called up and sent back, and called up and sent back. Sometime on the same day. Until that day in June of 23, when they put him in the starting rotation. You remember back then it was a question, would it be Falter, would it be Sanchez? Would it be Falter, would it be Sanchez? Who was going to be the 5th starter? And to see the growth, to see the maturation, to see him just being a total stud in the postseason. I know a lot of people had a lot of hands in it to help get him there, make him stronger, make him a better pitcher. But most of the credit has got to go to Christopher. He's such a good human being. He's a humble guy. He's a hard worker. And as a person who's in this organization, I was really proud of the way he took over that job, as you said, from Zach Wheeler as the number one guy. And he pitched every bit like a Cy Young type ace in this series, for sure.
He did. It's an incredible development story, and he's awesome. And he earned the Cy Young votes he's going to receive here and be awarded in about a month from now. Scott, we appreciate you hopping on. Appreciate all the spots the entire season. And I'll speak for everyone listening, the fan base. We love listening to Scott. Do an incredible job. Thank you for the season, and I'm sure we'll talk soon. And enjoy the offseason that starts a little too early here. Thank you, Scott.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you again soon.
There you go. Scott Fransky, the voice of the Phillies.
Yeah, I figured I'd try and throw a little positive spin on it. It's been a down day.
It has been. And you're right. He's right. It's 14 times to go up and down.
When I say this, I truly mean it. I was sitting on my couch going, this is, I felt I was crying. Like, this is, when the game was still in the, you know, battle, him and Glass. Yeah. Now I'm going, this guy has stones, man. This guy has stones.
Now, does it make you feel better or worse that we found out after the game that the umpire apparently apologized to Christopher Sanchez for the call that went the wrong way, the strike that was called a ball in that seventh inning? I mean, is it worth apologizing to him if you're the ump?
No.
Does it make him feel any better?
No.
Like, I think you just got to eat that if you're the ump.
Yep, you got to eat it.
Because you make him feel worse. Yeah, like, not only were you, was I wrong, you were right.
And it wasn't one of those 50-50. Sometimes they show the box and the ball, you know, they show that orange blurb that kind of hits the line.
It was a strike.
I mean, this, like, 75% of the ball hit the zone.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy.
And that was the batter that scored the run to tie the game.
That was the game-changing moment.
So game five is Saturday. Back on tomorrow.
Yeah, we get the game back.
Dodgers, fly in. We're playing tomorrow night. All right, back to the phones here in a second, but I do want to...
Yeah, please do this.
Yeah, let's read this.
Please do this.
Is this now 2 weeks in a row I'm reading an A.J. Brown tweet on the air? Yep. Oh, these are wonderful.
Now, did Kyle and I both send you that at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. We're on it. We're locked in.
All right, we got a tweet here from A.J. Brown sent out about 8 minutes ago. Quote, just to clear this up, that wasn't a meeting or a sit-down. I said I don't recall because it got painted like there was tension, and so had to step in. I got, oh, Say as in Saquon. Mm-hmm. Had to step in. That's not true. I was walking to my car, saw them, and stopped to talk. Nothing more.
Well, then that's not a meeting.
That's not a meeting.
So somewhere along the line, either AJ is diminishing what this was, or it got painted to be bigger than what it was.
What in the hell is going on?
Jimmy Kemsky's original report.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was they talked for hours. So I think AJ's lying. I don't think that Saquon and Jalen made their side of it up. I think they sat down and tried to air this out. And here's AJ playing this card again. That's my gut feel on it.
So Jimmy's a good writer, good reporter.
Very.
From when just following Jimmy over the years, Jimmy's not going to put something out that he didn't hear for real. Like, obviously, it happened clearly. They all acknowledged it. I do wonder if now that this is all out there, did the person who told Jimmy try to tell him so it would look good? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Maybe it wasn't an hour. Maybe they smoked for 15 minutes, but it was like painted as, hey, they had a big meeting.
1,000%. The first thing
now AJ's like, yeah, that really wasn't a big meeting.
Yeah, no. The first thing I thought was whoever gave him that info was to paint the picture that things are moving in the right direction. It was very team friendly. Right. That was my first thought.
Hold on. I'm calling BS on this entire, like.
Now we don't know if anything happened.
Well, no. Like, I'm thoroughly confused because this was it started off as a meeting that lasted a couple hours, right?
That was the original report.
But when Saquon was asked about it and when Jalen was asked about it, it's been presented to them as this meeting you guys had.
Yes.
AJ, what AJ's saying there is
no meeting.
A happenstance conversation in the parking lot. That's not a meeting, right? So if Jalen and Saquon are being asked and say, what happened in this meeting? Wouldn't they say a meeting? Like, it wasn't a meeting. Like, we just chatted in the parking lot. Like, a meeting to me feels...
You're sitting down.
Yes.
You sit down and
meet. It's premeditated.
Yeah,
you set it up.
Yep. There are chairs.
So neither Saquon nor Jalen said a meeting. Like neither of them made it seem like you guys blew it out of proportion. They both said, we want to keep that private. It's about the team. They, like, what the way they spoke about it was... That was a meeting.
Also, why is he tweeting about this now?
Why
does he feel the need to throw cold water on the said meeting from four days ago?
Why not at the locker when he was asked about it? He kept saying, I don't recall. I don't recall.
He's got a smirk on his face.
I know. Dude, he's playing the game, man. He's making it more difficult for this team to get back on track. And that bothers me. Whether there's turmoil and maybe he's frustrated, rightfully so, when there is adversity, are you doing everything in your power to make sure this team can get it right? At least try. Of course not. And he's actively on purpose making it worse.
That's got me in a pretzel. I don't know what the hell is going on.
He's making it, but he's doing it on purpose to make it harder for everybody else. That's a problem. That's a real problem.
We are barreling towards a trade request.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, we're counting the days down until he says, I want the hell out of here. I mean, I just don't understand, what's the point of putting this out there the day after a loss? Who is this for?
Maybe himself. Maybe it's to your, but maybe this is him going, I'm getting the hell out of here. Kevin Pitullo stinks. Sirianni stinks. Jalen, he probably thinks stinks, even though I disagree. And that's where we are.
I don't get it.
Yeah, go to Cleveland. And have, who's the Browning? No, that's
No,
that's Cincinnati.
It's Dylan Gabriel.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, go have fun with Dylan Gabriel. Right. Shut your mouth. I know you guys are going to say something about Jalen. Yeah, I know.
No.
You're going to say Browning's better.
No, I was going to say something about Jalen, but I just, something about the meeting thing, because I found Elliot asking him about the meeting.
This is asking question
and answer to Jalen about the meeting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you tell us about that meeting and why it happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's just us talking about the collective, talking about taking ownership for what we can and talking about how we move forward as a team so we continue to find ways to win games.
Why the need for a meeting, do you think?
It's really just teammates being teammates.
What was your takeaway and conclusion of the meeting?
I don't want to make this about that, right? We got a short week. We got a,
That's
not a parking lot happenstance.
No.
What are we talking about?
No, That's bad. I mean, really, this is disgusting.
Well,
by
he's trying to undermine the whole thing.
We talked at the car
again. I'll read it again.
They stopped each other in the parking lot and said, "What's up?" No,
yeah.
The way Jalen just described it was they had a meeting.
Yeah,
a meeting is not you see the guy in the parking lot.
We may need to start building in the weekly. I just read AJ Brown's tweet because we're doing it now. All right, so here is his tweet from 13 minutes ago. AJ Brown quote: "Just to clear this up, this wasn't a meeting or a sit down. I said, I don't recall because it got painted like there was tension and Say had to step in. That's not true. I was walking to my car, saw them and stopped to talk. Nothing
but
more."
How does I don't recall fix that issue that he feels was there? If he felt the issue was people are pinning him against Jalen and Saquon had to step in, the phrase I don't recall with this smug look doesn't help your case.
How is this locker room on the verge of falling apart so fast after Super Bowl?
Nick Sirianni.
But you know what? The vibes are horrendous.
They are terrible.
I'll tell you what. Like, they look, and the 2023 thing, we're well past that. Yeah. They're not even winning enough games for this to be considered like a fraudulent team. Like, they look like they just stink. I will say, though, they don't look like they're having fun at all.
No, they look miserable.
I mean, that's a parallel to that season.
The Giants look like they're having fun.
Yeah, unfortunately they do. They had a lot of fun last night at the
Sirianni
Eagles'
expense. The other week talking about the guys got to enjoy the wins.
What happened? This all happened so fast.
Now, do you think Nick screams at Eagles fans by week 9?
That is the next phase of this.
It is. We're walking through the same thing all over again.
Yeah, this is
who gets fired mid-season? Who's the Sean Desai? It's not Vic Fangio, of course, but
Petula.
But who's going to step in and be the Matt Patricia?
Who's the
passing game coordinator?
I just keep reading this tweet. It's unbelievable.
It's insane.
Also,
dude,
why put this out?
Because he's a diva. No one likes to use the word with AJ Brown. He's a diva to a T.
All right. Right. The trade deadline is 3-4 weeks away. Is it above or below a 5% chance they get him out of here?
Well, it comes back to the stuff that makes it difficult with Howie. I don't know the ramification. There might be a world where it may be at borderline impossible. You know,
listen, I'm not saying it's 50-50 or anything close to that. No. I think it's above 5% they trade him out of here.
I agree.
This
and I don't think, like, we forget. They took on the worst dead cap hit in NFL history with Carson Wentz because it had to end.
This feels rotten.
You're right. It could be to that point.
This feels rotten. 215-592-9490 for my goodness gracious, what a day we've had today. We hear from you people. Take your calls. And one more from Bryce Harper, a moment he wishes he could have back. How about this answer? That's next. Midday Show, Broads in for Hugh on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Which team is this for again? It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter.
Not my Sixers.
Not yet.
You know what? I don't think my joke today got enough love.
Well, you people have seen it all day, so I'm sure they have something to say.
Yeah. I saw the afternoon show. I got nothing. No giggles, no nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
It's not a laughing matter.
But come on. I threw on a Sixers hat and zip up today.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm clearly all Sixered up.
Read the room.
You're right. There's probably a big F by me. What are you going to do?
I found it funny. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if I found this as funny. Could we hear from Bryce Harper last night? He was asked anything he wants back from the series here against the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You could have something back from the series, maybe not you personally, but as a team. Is there something you look back on and say that might have been an opportunity we missed?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Mookie at bat, getting 3-2 right there, obviously. And then, myself just missing pitches over the plate in the zone. But yeah.
The Mookie at bat.
That's amazing.
That's incredible. Yeah, the Mookie at bat.
You know when our closer walked
to
run in? Yeah, when our closer walked to run in, that's the one.
Oh, my goodness.
I think he took that question a little too literal.
Yeah.
We didn't mean, like, losing the game.
No, he did catch himself. He's like, well, and then, by the way, me.
Yeah, I also hit 200
in the series. What would you like to have back? Oh, the Mookie at bat. Oh, man.
Bryce, we're talking about your at bats, pal.
I mean, what if he was like, probably Kirkring's bro to home.
Yeah, for real. Essentially, though, I mean, that's kind of what we're working with here.
He takes out his bro's notebook. Well, hey. The topper decision to bunt, Robertson in game one, Kirkring in game four. I want them all back.
Listen, this notebook can make a lot of money. Yeah, this notebook's got a lot of thoughts.
I appreciate the notebook. Yeah. So you write things down, guy?
Of course. It's almost as precious as Ray Dittinger's yellow notepad.
No, what is it, like a bind?
It's a nice, solid, this one might be a three-subjecter.
Yeah, because you got three or five. Yeah.
I have the five in the, so I have a scrap one where I put all like my notes that I write. And then
is that for the doodles?
This is the show.
Oh.
I do have a little doodle guy.
Yeah. Oh, I see the doodle guy.
I knew there were doodles.
He showed you people the doodle guy. He's in there.
I got a little doodle. This is the secondary page of the doodle, to be fair.
Now, I can't really see. You strike me as a terrible handwriting guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, how would you rate this handwriting?
It's not good, but it's not horrendous.
Okay, here's the you people again for the you people.
So,
Angelo once, like, eviscerated me for handwriting? My handwriting, yeah.
Well, Angelo had very nice handwriting, and he used to obviously have the notepads,
you
too.
You ever work with the people that go, no notepad?
Nothing. So
I'm not saying you can't do. Listen, if I didn't have it, I could still do a good. But I feel empty or naked.
You need something.
I'm nude. Imagine doing the show nude. You don't want to do the show nude.
Especially with you people. Yeah, they don't
of course
want that.
Not. Now they're on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be naked, but I would feel naked. I would feel naked.
Yeah, so speaking
one time I forgot my headphones. I had to use one in here. I felt naked.
Oh, you're not the same without your own headphones.
No, I need the headphones.
So speaking of handwriting, I used to be a notepad guy like you are. Now I switch to just the phone or electronics or my email, and I make myself notes.
That's fair.
Because my handwriting has gotten so bad, I stopped being able to read
your
handwriting.
Your handwriting's deteriorated.
It's gotten worse. Yeah.
Once you can't read your own.
No, it is.
That's rough.
You
strike me as a lefty.
No, I'm a righty.
Okay, I can see you doing the smearing of the ink.
I had a moment where I wrote something down. I was like, I don't know what the hell this is. I got to stop.
Sounds like a Hugh problem. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that was Hugh, and now that's you. Yeah. Hugh's rubbing off on you, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. All right, let's go to Cowboy Jim. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
I just ate. Does Brode have to describe him being naked? Thanks a lot.
Yeah, sorry. It's 1:30. It's 1:30. We made it that far.
I was going to say this. Where are the Giants fans calling in? Are you guys scared to have Giants fans call in?
They've been dormant for 12 years.
I'm scared to be. And what kind of Hugh Douglas do you think we would have had today? Told you so, Douglas. Excuses, Douglas.
All of them.
Douglas. What do you think?
Giggling Douglas at our pain. Yeah, I mean,
and whatever the most annoying version possible.
He would have been that all day.
Just picture that.
Yeah. And now, which offense was worse last night? The Eagles or the Phillies?
Wow.
Phillies, maybe?
Well, Phillies
went up against Dodger
far,
pitching.
Right,
yeah. The Eagles went up against the Giants.
I can't trust that enough.
Okay, you're right. Eagles it is. That's a good
and
point.
What was more embarrassing, Kirkering or four straight tush pushes?
It was effective.
That's all we got.
The four tush pushes was endearing.
It's all we got right now.
That was a good drive.
The Eagles, they're a disgrace. Disgrace with the tush push. False starts. But the good thing about it, guess what? The NFC East is up for grabs now.
Jim Duncan, are you getting chesty with the Cowboys?
With your defense?
Hey, listen, I'm worried about the Panthers this weekend.
You should be.
I should be, right. Mm. So as the Eagles are who we thought they are, fraudulent, phony, and false starts. And maybe you should have gone for Brian Schottenheimer as your offensive coordinator. So good luck.
All right, that's enough.
I've got to be honest with you. When he said Florida, I thought, did the Dallas Stars play the Panthers coming up in a couple days? Can I ask you one question on the hockey thing? I made it in 3 hours and a half until I bring this up.
2-1 Panthers last night.
2-1 Panthers. Did it ever, be honest with me, and I feel I know the answer. Was there a second where you were looking in the mirror and said, Joe, I'm going to check in. I'm just going to check in.
With the Flyers last night?
To see how the Fly guys
I had an eye on it.
Did you have that?
You're a hockey man.
So I respect that.
So the answer is no.
Okay, I'm not surprised.
But I think if it was a one other game night, I would have. Right? If it was just the Eagles, I would what the Flyers doing their first game. Or if it was just the Phillies, I would have at least checked the score. As I was in the misery of the Phillies. But with both, couldn't do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. At least you're being honest with me. And truth be told, I had a difficult time. It was third TV on mute the whole time. I glanced here and there. It was a dud of a game, but... I mean, I just wanted to know. I wanted to see
when's
if you
the
at
next
least
one?
Peaked in.
Game two is
Saturday against Carolina.
What are we thinking?
I think they're going to lose.
Okay, all right, there we go.
That's all we got. That's all I wanted to throw out there. I needed some puck it up.
I get it. Mike in Medford is up. What's up, Mike?
Oh boy! After listening to AJ Brown's tweet, my first thought was we are sorely missing the leadership of people like Brandon Graham and Jason Kelce. Somebody's got to be there to stop that.
I think that's a fair point, Mike. They are. I think especially on the defensive side, they are very young and they're just they're not where they need to be at all.
Yeah. So I called in obviously to talk a little baseball. I have a theory about the Giants game last night. I don't know which one you want to hear first, but
let's do baseball. Let's do baseball and then when with your theory.
All right. So baseball. I mean. I completely agree with Kyle's assessment of the playoffs, which is basically the hitters are going up against the best pitchers. I mean, they're even putting starting pitchers now in the ends of the game. My problem is that I feel like our team's not built to handle that. You know, we've got home run hitters. If you go back to the regular season, I mean, you probably look up how many games the Phillies scored 5, 6, 7 runs, but they also had 4 or 5 home runs. I just don't feel like we have enough people who could just, shorten up the swing and put the bat on the ball when it's needed.
Yeah, they don't play like a team offensively. I think they don't really, and everyone says, pass the baton, this and that, but I don't feel they play as a unit, a 1-9 unit as an offense.
Yeah, exactly. It's either the top three, the ones that we always talk about, or all of a sudden here comes Stott and Sosa with a big-time hit, that in that one game that week,
Yeah, Mike, I'm going to use a cross-sport comparison. Like the NBA now, you kind of have to hit a lot of threes to win. Everyone shoots threes. And the Phillies in this series, they had one game where they, to use the basketball analogy, they hit 60% of their threes, right? That was game three. They hit the home runs. They were hot. And in the other games, they just missed every single one. And it's like, it's hard to win that way. It's hard. And it makes every little thing, every little possession or inning that may matter that much more when you're not hitting your shots or obviously hitting their home runs like that we want them to.
Yeah. And there's no mistakes. And they're not throwing up the meatball, third string pitcher to close out a game in the middle of July. So, my quick theory about the Giants, I wonder if the Giants lost so bad to the Saints is because they spent a week and a half preparing for the Eagles because Brian Daboll basically is looking at this as his Super Bowl because I just did not expect that. The Eagles have not lost like that to any team this year. I mean, they lost one game and they were close to better teams. So I wonder if that was their thinking up there.
Yeah, I just think that he was on such thin ice, Brian Daboll.
Mike, appreciate it.
That he can't even overlook a Saints team. And I think it's more, and I'm not trying to diminish what the Giants did. They did what they had to do. They played tougher. They played harder. But I think a lot of that wasn't really the Giants being this masterful weapon of 2 week of preparation. It was more the Eagles just did not come ready to play.
Yeah, I think we've done a lot this season so far trying to justify what the Eagles do with all these different particulars, right? Well, it was the Cowboys. That's a rival in week one. Then, it's the Chiefs. It's a Super Bowl rematch. Well, the Rams are a rematch. Well, the Bucks. It's hot. Well, it's 6 games now, bros, of sample with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. They have been outgained and have fewer yards in every game. The common denominator is the Eagles.
Yes.
Right? Like,
they're not a good team.
Right now, they're not a good football team, and it's remarkable that we've gotten here because we walked into the season. This is a Super Bowl favorite. This is the best roster in the NFL.
Yeah, and even if they did the typical, it's hard to have a lot of success after winning a Super Bowl, they don't look competent, right? There's a big difference between looking like this and looking competent, maybe losing games and struggling. Maybe you go 10-7, and it's one of those seasons, but okay, you're coming off a Super Bowl. They don't look competent. That's a big difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course it is.
That's a huge difference.
Well, and then I think the other thing that we probably haven't talked as much about today, they're very banged up now, right? Like last night, think about their defense. You could have made a case before the season, Jalen Carter, Quinyon, Nolan Smith are what, three of their five best defensive players? You throw Bond in there, Cooper. They were now three of their five best defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just don't have the depth. Last year, they had so much depth, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they had Sweat. They had Brandon Graham. They had Milton Williams. You start picking off a couple of the starters that are good. It's like, McCoob is a rookie. Campbell, I like, is a rookie. But they've got guys out there like Ty Robinson got a lot of snaps last night.
No pass rush.
No pass rush.
I'm looking at, remind me, Zadarius
Smith.
Zadarius Smith and Ojulari as your two guys that make noise here and there. Holy hell, you got a pass rush problem.
Yeah, they do. They absolutely do. Let's grab Art in Philly. Art, good afternoon. Art.
Hello, Art.
Art going once.
Get the hell out of here.
I like the name Art.
All right, that drop is Art.
I know.
Yeah, Art's
know.
One of Art's one become one of our favorites.
I'm an Artsman.
Yeah,
I'm an Artsman. It's a shame he wasn't ready for us.
Maybe we'll get him in a minute. Mad Mike, good afternoon.
Merry Christmas, ho ho ho!
It's your day. It is your day, especially with the quarterback and the football team.
I mean, that quarterback is the fraudiest fraud, most protected player ever. All my toys aren't on the field. I can't play. Oh, what am I to do? Shut. Jalen Hurts. St. Jalen is a fraud. He's not a top five quarterback. I don't want to hear him mentioned as a top five quarterback. That performance was pathetic.
Well, it was bad.
Pathetic
it was
that bad. Baseball team.
You're going to have to eat this one today, Brods.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. I understand. Jalen was bad yesterday.
I mean, can we call a spade here?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The head coach is just Mr. Magoo, just wandering around. He doesn't really do anything. I mean, he just lucks into things. He's lucked into a Super Bowl. He's lucked into all of this. Howie and everybody else is just doing all the work around him, and he's just, I'm a Super Bowl winning head coach. No, you're a moron. And then the quarterback is like, well, how come Saquon's not running the ball for me? I can't be back here throwing the ball. Like I've been telling you guys that this team's a bunch of frauds. Oh, and the tush push, always offsides. But sure, let's not always see them offsides. But, oh, no one could stop it. Just stop the play. Well, if you're not cheating, maybe we could stop it. This team's the fraudiest of frauds.
Oh, it's great hearing from you, Mike.
Yeah, always good. I mean, it's a win for Mike today. I mean, what are we going to do?
I hate Thursday. Now, can I ask you this question? Because people are tweeting what Dan Orlovsky said on Get Up this morning. Mm-hmm. They're running the same plays out of the same concepts, out of the same formations. When you look at Saquon's alignment, more often than not, it's going to tell you what the play is. It has to start there, right? And now there's plenty of layers. We talked about offensive line play and Jalen's play, which he had a chance with busted coverage in the second half.
Yep.
And the pick was unacceptable. So I don't want to make this just a Kevin Petullo issue because it's not. And hand up, it's everybody. But if you're running the same plays out of the same concepts, out of the same formations, and Saquon's alignment tells you information that is important, how much does it start there?
It's huge.
It's insane.
I think because we heard Saquon earlier say everyone knew we were running last year. I think the difference is the Eagles were so much better than everyone last year, right? Their O-line, Saquon was probably just better. You know, he had his career year. Maybe you could get away with, I don't know what the right word is, like simple concepts or ones that are easy to diagnose when you're better than everyone. Mm-hmm. But when you're not, like they're playing Toth out there.
Yeah.
Steen's not as good as Becton.
Becton was so good, it's not even funny. And you just forget about it because we think Jeff Stoutland can snap his fingers. And most of the times he can, but sometimes this is just what it is.
Yeah, and look, it's the NFL. Like if you're 10% worse and you're predictable, bad teams will make it eat hard on you. Like that's what we saw. Like, they have to wake up in every way, coaching and the players. Like Jalen, just use him for that example again, he could make up for Petula, right? If he hits those two shots.
It's a whole different game.
But he's not making up for Petula. Petula, I would say, I've been saying this to Hugh for weeks, he's lost at sea. He's a man without a compass. He's just floating on the ocean. He doesn't know where he's going right now. It is a mess. I don't know if he's ever making it home either. It's not good. He's gone. Gino in the Northeast. What's up, Gino?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Hey, Gino. What's up?
What's going on?
I really have to follow that guy who just wanted to just take shots at Jalen.
Yeah, that's bad, Mike. He just does it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around town today, all over the city today, you know, work and stuff, and everybody's just miserable. I mean, it's just, and I got to tell
why.
You, I called to talk about the Phillies, but before I get to that, I just wanted to say, I've had about enough of A.J. Brown. I got to tell you. I mean, he's a great player, but... You know, he's sitting there at his locker last night like it's like he's doing stand-up comedy with the, you know, with his act there. Like, no one wants to see that if you just got your ass kicked, dude. You know what I mean? No one wants to see you sitting there acting like, you know, it's a joke. His body language on the field was terrible all night.
I hate when they show the signs of him on the bench and you could just tell he's, like, not locked in and doesn't give a damn.
He's become the classic diva receiver, Gino. It is happening, and it's like, happening fast at this point where he's totally about himself and the team and how it all goes a second.
Like, if you don't want to be here, then just come out and say that. Stop with the passive-aggressive nonsense. Come out and say it, and we'll see what we can do. You know what I mean? I hate that. Just say what you mean. You know what I mean? It's so aggravating. And as far as the Phillies go, you know, the only three guys on that team who don't deserve any blame are the three starting pitchers. Those guys were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you said it, Joe. It's so true. Our starting pitching is good enough to win a World Series. The rest of the team just isn't. They're just not.
They're not. And, Gino, the craziest part of that statement, and it's true, is that they did this without Wheeler. And, Gino, we appreciate the phone call. Like, imagine if when Wheeler went down, I said the starting pitching will still be good enough to win the World Series, but that they won't.
I told you so, Douglas moment for you.
Yeah?
My guy knows, man. Let me tell you something. I've been on these airwaves 2 a.m., 3 a.m.,
defending Knowles,
4 a.m., ready to throw haymakers with people, saying my guy Knowles has big balls in October.
He had them.
And nobody believed me, and no one believed in him. But I told you so, damn it. What an effort.
Wow.
I mean, what an effort.
He
by
completed
Nola.
The circle filling in for you. I told you so.
I told you so, Broats. Let's put it on our Mount Rushmore of Broats.
We can do
we
that.
We have Notebook Broats. We have I Told You So Broats.
I do like Notebook Broats. He's my new favorite Broats. All right, can we check in with you people, see what they got for us today?
You people. It's time to hear from you people. What do you mean, you people?
You know, it is a sad day. When Mad Mike's call kind of hits.
I mean, what are we going to do about it? Like, I can't fight him today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Three bleeping clowns you guys are.
Yeah, well, that's...
Well, what did we do wrong?
Well, you did show up in what's essentially a clown
It's the only team
costume.
That didn't hurt us, although VJ Edgecombe can't play tonight because he's injured.
They didn't hurt us because they can't. Right now.
Well, just when the press release comes out about shutting Edgecombe down for 2 weeks, that's coming soon. Yep.
Blah, 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 whatever, we get it.
I understand that today, I feel it. Don't want to hear it, I get
Do
it.
Do still have to come to work, by the way?
It's talk show.
So the blah, blah, blah thing,
mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. You guys are a disgrace.
Is that about the team or us?
I don't know. But how? What
did we do?
What did we do today?
I thought we were pretty on point.
Yeah,
I thought we actually had a phenomenal show.
Always on point. Yeah. Always on point. Yep. Broads is exactly the idiot I needed to hear from today, and I mean that in all sincerity.
Oh, good. Yeah. All right, I actually take that extremely positive.
That's exactly what
you
we're
should,
going for.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did I earned my paycheck.
Yeah,
today.
You did.
That's right.
Why would I need that idiot in here today? Yeah.
Let me guess. Phils and Eagles just needed more pucks on net. Give me a break. Stick to hockey.
they got to get in the corners.
That was a classic.
Muck and grind.
Yeah, a little more forecheck.
That's right.
Yep.
Get F1.
You know, I do not like the Kyle guy.
Is that from Hugh Douglas?
I don't know.
H. Douglas?
Let's hope Hugh's not in the you people. Yeah, that's just not.
Oh, he probably is.
Well, we've told him to stay out of there because he.
I know. I heard him call out people's mothers.
Yeah. I was a little sensitive sometimes with the you people.
Kyle looks like he should be a waiter at a French restaurant. I was once a waiter at a French restaurant.
Well, you have the look
so you
then.
Nailed that.
You do. Yeah. I could see you in the black tie with the, you know what I'm saying? The black suit.
Were you a good waiter? Were you a good waiter?
Well,
he doesn't seem very
confident. Depends on the application.
Okay.
No, don't make me taste a bunch of wines and describe what I tasted because it all tastes like wine.
You know? Oh, so you're not a future sommelier?
No, okay. I'm not Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, you know? Right. That's yep. for sure.
Kyle looks like he works security at an art exhibit.
Are we just basing this off the stash?
I think it's the security thing.
Okay.
It could be anywhere, you know?
Yeah, but you don't strike me as security.
I'm also not an art guy.
I didn't think that either.
Definitely not a security guy.
No, a Pepsi guy. Either.
I'm the Havoc
Yeah,
Reaker.
That's an interesting poll. By the way, I looked at it 5 times and thought, sharp, no, but won't. Interesting.
Girlfriend worked for Pepsi.
Oh, okay. Now that makes more sense.
That makes more sense.
But that's a sharp
Because at
item.
First I thought, Kyle's just a big fan of Pepsi.
No, I don't drink soda.
I've never seen you drink a soda.
So
yeah.
I apologize to
but
my girlfriend.
But
if you were going to, it'd be Pepsi.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Broads looks like he works the register at a gas station.
What do you think? You think you
I don't know if it's the outfit. I think it's. Yeah.
Is it the man bun?
It's probably the tats and the man bun, I guess, you know?
Yeah, but the tats and man bun could do a lot more than gas station.
It can. They
yeah.
could, but they're selling you a little
it's
short.
It's pigeonholing. Yeah. The tats and the mad bun.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the
well,
only
then
thing
me
you
and
could
Spike
do.
Both own a hell of a gas station.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, we have a lost listener. Spike is talking nonsense right now.
Oh, have you ever experienced a lost listeners?
Yeah. No.
So sometimes it happens on the app, because the Odyssey app, you could pause and rewind.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it happens on YouTube, where you can also pause and just then come back to it, like if you close down your computer. People get lost, and they're still in a different day show or a different day part. And they'll comment
so they comment
during our show.
And they're talking about something they have in the morning show or something.
Or they think Joe is Spike.
Yeah. I guess they could.
Which I don't see.
Well, I don't see it either, but an annoying, thin, white guy. I mean, it's
that's
one of us. Yeah. It's one of us.
Yeah. Lost is as a variety of implications there. You guys are giving Jalen Hurts a pass, as always.
No, it's not true.
I don't believe that's true at all.
No. Again, I was going to say coin. We stole the term, but with permission, early onset Russell Wilson disease.
Do you guys think I've been fair with my Jalen assessment?
You
have. Sure,
you have. Okay. And I think today you had
to. Well, because people had to drop the axe.
it
started with you.
Yeah. Well, I got nothing.
Right. Was it Monday or Tuesday we're asking the entire audience if they're ready to drop the axe?
Well, probably Monday.
I think we might have to start with Douglas.
Yeah. It's going to be up to Hugh. He's the leader of the people right now. Speaking of Hugh. Still found a way to catch some strays by the You People chat.
Good.
So Hugh got too banged up last night in celebration of his guy Scatabu, scoring 3 touchdowns.
Well, yeah.
He was referred to as Hugh Scatabu yesterday.
He was. Yeah, he's a big Scatabu fan.
Well, it's hard not to be with the way he plays, right?
Sure. People would love him here.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
He's a Philly guy.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
He would be, there'd be Scatabu jerseys all over
he's
the city.
Oh, yeah. We'd be talking about getting Saquon up out of here. Yeah. The upper room finally gave Hugh a call, huh?
We would not be laughing as hard if it was. No, he's fine.
Well,
he's fine.
He transcended.
Yeah.
Today's one of those days where we need Hugh to get my mind off things by talking about some nonsense that doesn't matter in the slightest.
He would have.
I could have opened the show with the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I decided not to.
Well, you didn't want to get suspended the way he was.
Nope.
Yeah, that's right.
One more here. Mm-hmm. Disappearing when we need him most, Bryce Douglas or Hugh Harper?
Oh, that's a good one.
Which one do you like better, Hugh Harper? I like Bryce Douglas.
Bryce Douglas
Hugh Harper's got the alliteration, but Bryce Douglas.
Well, Rod would love a Hugh Harper.
He would.
He would love a Hugh Harper.
Yeah, Rod does love a good alliteration.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
We'll run it by Hugh.
We can. We could do that on Monday, yeah. It's weird. It's weird now. Like, we got it all out today, right? The afternoon shows up after us. They'll get their emotions out. But we don't even get an Eagles game this weekend to cleanse it. We got the Eagles game last night to make us more pissed off. Like, this is like and then we got the Flyers tomorrow, right?
But yeah, thank you.
But for the most part, it's a quieter weekend.
Oh, yeah.
When, like,
you got to watch Mariners,
Tigers
Detroit.
Tonight.
You write Scooble.
I think Scooble might be my shove tonight.
Well,
yeah,
there isn't really anything that can happen on NFL Sunday that can cleanse this, can it?
No, that's why if it was an Eagles game and they won, we kind of start moving forward. It's going to be a weird weekend. Might have to drink the sorrows away and come back in here Monday, regroup.
Get banged up.
Yeah, I might have to get banged up. Yeah, it might be one of those weekends. All right. Broads, you're back on tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow and Sunday.
Tomorrow and Sunday.
A little double dip around that 3-7 range.
All right.
I'll catch you guys then.
All right. Stay tuned for Broads. All right. You guys have a great weekend. It's going to be a weird one. It certainly is. Disappointing. I mean, a majorly disappointing ending to the Philly season here. And we don't worry. If you thought we were soft on the Eagles, we will dive more into that mess coming up next week, because there's a lot to unpack there, because this football team should not be as bad as it is right now. All right. That's all for us on a Friday. We're going to hand it over to the afternoon show. They have, I'm sure, a ton of reaction to both of these things. I was hoping today that we and them and everyone would be coming on getting ready for game number 5. We're not getting that, but we are getting all their reaction coming up next. You guys have a great weekend. We'll talk to Hugh back on Monday. Broads twice this weekend. I was going to say, go Flyers. Get us a win. Someone get us a win. Afternoon Show is next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.